I'll be Two other men, both criminals, were also led with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with those criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there was written a notice above his head that said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." We just want to worship Jesus today. We want to focus on the cross, and it isn't about me, and it isn't about you, it isn't about us, it isn't about trying to entertain you or trying to make something special here today. It's already special. We don't need to make it special. So, you know, all of those kind of expectations, maybe you don't need to get that off you, but I need to get it off of me right now. And just that our focus is on the cross, and it is a Good Friday. It's not going to be a Good Friday, it is Good Friday. It's good, thank you, Jesus. It's good because He's good. It isn't because I'm good. It's good because Jesus is good, and His goodness has met justice. Justice was met on Good Friday. The justice of the Father, so that sin could once and for all be paid for. The sacrifice of Jesus is all sufficient. It's all sufficient. There is no more need for any more sacrifice at any other time. It's all been paid for. It's all covered. It's Good Friday because He's good. Because He gave His life. He suffered and He died. And justice was met. Thank you, God. Just gonna be quiet. Sing a song. The weight of the cross should be my attention. To gather in by the tomb of the Son of God. Weep with those who thought that
why we are here. I'm
6th hour, darkness came over the whole land, until the 9th hour. When the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. But all of those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Oh God, we're here to worship you. We're here to celebrate your goodness. We're here to face the cross with boldness and confidence because of what you've done, and because of your goodness and your righteousness that has taken our sin upon you. Thank you, Jesus. We pray today that whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever we pray, whatever we sing, will be to the glory of your name, Jesus. To the glory of your name, Jesus. Thank you that your sacrifice is all you need. It's all sufficient. I pray that we'll just gather around your table today. I pray that we'll be family, we'll be body. We will be the sons and daughters of the victorious King. In Jesus' name, amen. May we see it.
Praise God.
I think sometimes we just need a little darkness. And I hope that's all right. Sometimes there's too much light. And I don't know if we can turn these off or not, Rita, but okay. Just really want just to worship Jesus today. I want it to be completely about Him. And sometimes we need that darkness to appreciate the hell that He went through. Just to appreciate His suffering, to appreciate His love. I guess, you know, more than anything today, we just need to know that this is the example of His love for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That the only reason Jesus did what He did, and the only reason we have any reason to call this a Good Friday today, is because of His amazing love. And yeah, when we leave this place today, that needs to be what we take with us, is love. Man, that He loved me this much, that He would suffer, and that He would die for me. I'm sometimes tired about the noise. Everything's noisy. Everything's loud. My phone always rings. The TV is on. You know, there's so much noise. We just want to have a little bit of time this morning where it's not so noisy, where we're not trying to impress each other, where we're just worshiping Him, and where we're just receiving His love. So we're going to pray, and I'll start with prayer. There's only one thing I'm going to ask, is that whatever we pray about, I'm going to open this up and you can pray, but it needs to be about God. It needs to be about the cross. It just needs to be about Jesus. We can thank Him. We can cry out to Him. We can just sit with Him for a bit. We can just enjoy Him. Thank You, God. Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful that You're here. I'm so grateful that You're alive. I'm so grateful that You've changed my life and You've taken me out of that darkness. And I just want to worship You in the quiet of this place right now, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for everything that You endured for me. Thank You that You were obedient. That's really been on my heart lately, God. How amazingly obedient You were, Jesus, that You were obedient even to death, even death on a cross, that You did exactly what Your Father required of You. Thank You, Jesus, for being obedient. Thank You that even though You didn't want to, You went to that cross for me. That You endured the suffering and the pain and the horror and the injustice of it all so that my sin could be covered forever, completely. Thank You, Jesus. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank You, Lamb of God. Thank You, sacrificial Lamb. Lift up Your name. You are worthy. You are holy. And I adore You. I give You all honor and glory. And I acknowledge that only you is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Only You is worthy. Only You are worthy of my praise and the praise of Your people today. Only You could rescue us from our own folly, our own stupidity, and our own sin. Only you, Jesus. And what an amazing, absolutely stunning example of love that You've given us, Lord. I just want to be embraced in Your love today, embraced in the understanding that I am that important to You, I am that precious to You, that You would die on the cross for me. God, I don't have anything else to say, but thank You. Yes, God.
Thank You that we want that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank You that we can
Yes, God.
And Father, when we come into Gethsemane and experience it, I just pray that you will help us to live it out.
Yes, God.
And that we will experience the fellowship with your Son and the power. And so, God, today, Lord, we just have to be different in the way that we've ever known.
Thank you, God. Yes, Jesus.
We pray that there might be people that see the truth of it, that have never seen the truth of it. God, that people of faith would be reaching for Jesus in this world.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And so, Lord, we want to enter in to the blessing of it in a way that we've never entered in before. We want to experience the cross. So that we might come through to our resurrection, God. And I know, God, that's the way you want us to think that way. And so, Father, prepare us, God, to do the things that we identify with you, God. We know, God, that we have to die to ourselves, to the flesh, the world, and the flesh. But, God, we have such beauty.
Amen. Praise you, God. Jesus.
Lord, we acknowledge the cross this morning that really it was such a shame. Lord, that you died as a common criminal, and that this is the way the lowliest died. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are willing to take all of this and to bear all this shame and to bear all of our shame, and that you will carry all of our sin. Lord, we cannot begin to thank you enough for your love and the expression of your love for us, that you went willingly to the cross. You went willingly. You knew every stroke. You knew every word that would come against you. You knew more than that. You didn't deserve any of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for the cross.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the shame that you bore for us,
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that you carry our shame now. You carry our burdens now, and that we are King.
Amen.
And we do worship this morning, Lord. And Father, we thank you for all these things in the holy name of
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Jesus, thank you, mighty God. Amen. Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yes, we can suffer.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, you are
beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I exalt you. I
yes, God.
Who are you? Where are you?
Yeah.
There's no one can come near you. What are we afraid of? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we have power.
Thank you.
The Bible also says that we were crucified. No longer us that live, but it's you in us.
Thank you, Jesus.
So when we look at one another, we see you, Lord. We see you for what you've done. What you have done.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So we just want to be filled with your presence. We want to just reach out and hold you and hug you. Because you are our King.
Mm-hmm.
You are our Lord. You are our Father. You're Papa God.
Yes.
You are. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I praise you,
Lord
God. I praise you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, mighty God. Amen. Yes. Thank you, God. Jesus. Amen. Then he
sings, my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. One more time. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I think it was last Friday that I was out with Crystal, and she said, "So, are we going to have a Good Friday service?" And I said, "No, I don't think people really want to come to Good Friday services, and it's been busy, and I had about 6 excuses, so I repent of that. I do. I think that was just not hearing God, and obviously this is important to all of us to be here. And just thank God that, you know, there's a real presence of God in this place. I don't have a long word today, but I think it's good, and I think it's something that God wants to say to us. So I just want to read again from Matthew 27. God is so good, isn't that true? God is such an amazing God, and His Word just flows, you know. The Word flows from the Holy Spirit, and His Word is meant to teach us and to instruct us and to encourage us. So just listen to these words today from Matthew 27. As you know, we've been going through this the last 6 weeks. And I'm just going to begin reading at verse 50. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks split. And the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And they came out of their tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. We looked at all that last week. It was such an amazing thing that happened when Jesus died, that all those graves opened up, and these people joined Jesus in the spreading of the gospel and in being witnesses of his resurrection. That just blows me away. Wow. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw what happened, they all were terrified, and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." And many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. And now here's the few verses that we want to focus on for a few minutes. And as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and he went away. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Today, I just want to focus for a little bit on Joseph of Arimathea. This individual, and we have all these little snapshots when you read the the scriptures, and Matthew does this probably better than almost anyone else, just little pictures, little snapshots of different people who surround the cross and who were disciples or who were friends of Jesus or who were followers. We've looked at lots of them, but today we focus on Joseph. And the thing that describes Joseph in the scriptures, the word that I guess the way people referred to him or how he was known, he was just known as Rich Joseph. He was a rich man, is what Matthew records. Joseph was a rich man. He probably had more than just a little bit of money. There were some people who had money, but Joseph had more than just a little bit. Joseph was known by his riches. He was almost identified, you know, by his riches. He probably had a lot of money, and he had a tomb that we're told he carved out that tomb, and it was meant for his burial. It was meant for his place of rest. It was kind of, you know, how like we might have an RRSP for our future. They didn't have RRSPs back then, but if you had a grave, or if you could afford a tomb, that was a prestigious thing. It was something people worked for, and it was something that was really precious. It meant a lot. No doubt it meant a lot to Joseph. And we're told that Joseph was willing to give up his tomb so that Jesus could lie there, so Jesus could be in that tomb. There's not a lot, really, that we know about Joseph of Arimathea. We know where he came from. But there are some things in these two or three verses that I read. There's just a few things that describe him, and I want to just focus on that. I said already he was a rich man. It's not a sin to be rich. And that's good. You know what? That's good for all of us, because we're all rich. You know, sometimes we tend to look at other people and we think, oh man, that guy's got a lot of money. We put that name rich in front of them. But every one of us who's here today, we're all rich. Compared to the worldly standards, you have 100 times, I don't care how poor you are, you still have 100 times more money and more possession and more food than the average person in this world. So we can all breathe a sigh of relief when you hear that statement, that it's okay, that riches isn't necessarily a sin. The Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the problem comes with money when it's in our attitude, or when money becomes our idol or our God, or when we don't recognize that the money that God's given us is to be used for his kingdom. And there are very few ministries in Western Canada, for sure, that would be where they are today if it wasn't for wealthy people who are prepared to give back what God has given. That's why God gives money. God gives money so that we give it back to him, so that it's used for his purpose and for his kingdom, so that it's used to touch people's lives, so that it's used to build. You know, money can be a great resource, so we don't need to think it's always dirty. Money's not always dirty. God has a real purpose for money, and he gives whatever we got. You may have $20 or you may have $200,000. He gives that to you, or he gives it to me, so that we share it, so that it's used to build. And we know about Joseph is that he was an individual who had money, for whatever reason. He was a rich man. The people knew him that way. They identified him by his wealth. Another thing, though, that if you read that passage carefully, another thing that you learn about Joseph is that he was also a man who was greatly respected. He wants to have an audience with Pilate, and he gets it. He was, you know, Pilate, he had the respect of Pilate, and maybe it's partly because of the money that he had, but probably it's more than that. It's probably because Joseph of Arimathea was a man with integrity. He was a man who was genuine. He was a man who was honest. And when on that day, when Jesus died, when he said to Pilate, I want to see you, or when he sent that message, I want to see Pilate. I want to see Pilate because I want that body. I want to be able to take the body of Jesus and put it in my tomb. Pilate says, oh, I'll see him. Right? He's a man who was respected. He was a man who had integrity. He had a good reputation. Pilate was ready to meet with him. I don't think just anyone could meet with Pilate. But Joseph, because of who he was, because of the respect that he had, he had an audience with Pilate. The other thing that strikes me about Joseph, the more I think about him, and I've been thinking about him all week, is, you know, he had a lot of boldness. Joseph was pretty bold. You know, he approaches Pilate, and you got to understand that, in effect, what Joseph was saying to Pilate is, Pilate, you really blew it. And Pilate would have understood this. I want the body that you allowed to be crucified, Pilate. I want this Jesus who stood before you yesterday and who said, and you said to him, what is truth? I want this Jesus that you allowed to die. I want him. I want his body, and I want to bury him in my tomb. You know, Pilate could have really been insulted by that. Maybe he was. I'm amazed at the boldness of this man. He comes before, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care what Pilate thinks. He doesn't care what all the other people think. And there must have been a lot of people that thought that Joseph is crazy. What's the matter with this guy? This guy's got all the money in the world. What's he doing messing around with his dead body? Why is he putting this Jesus, this lunatic Jesus, why is he putting Jesus in his tomb? None of this makes any sense. But Joseph didn't care. He didn't care what people thought. He just didn't care at all. Maybe, though, but the more I study about Joseph, maybe the thing I like about him the best is that Joseph was a rich man who did a lot more than just write checks. He was really hands-on. You know, you read this story, there's something amazing about this story that, you know, he doesn't just send people to do this and do that, and he sit behind his desk and say, okay, I'll write you a check for that, and I'll write you a check for that. That's what some rich people do. All they do is they just write checks, and they think, well, that's all I'm good for. What really is impressive to me about Joseph is that, man, he's hands-on, this guy, right? He doesn't send someone to go see Pilate. He goes and sees Pilate himself. He takes the body down. We're told that Joseph, this rich guy, he probably had 100 people working for him. He went to the cross. He took Jesus down from the cross. He took Jesus to a place where he cleaned him up. He cleaned up Jesus' body, and he wrapped Jesus' body with clean linen, we're told. All of these things were done by Joseph. He didn't have someone do it for him. Isn't that amazing? This guy had all the money in the world. He didn't have to touch that blood and that, right? He didn't have to do that. He could have sent a servant to do all this. He could have said, and people would have still thought, well, that's admirable. Man, that's good. Look at that Joseph. You know, he paid for this. He had Jesus taken care of. He did a good thing, but that's not what he does, right? He himself was involved. He himself cleaned Jesus' body. He himself wrapped him in linen. He was personally involved in this act of devotion and worship. And that's what this is. You need to see this today. What Joseph was doing to Jesus, he was just worshiping. He was showing his love, how much he loved Jesus. Because here's the one word, we've talked about lots of things, his boldness and that he was respected, and we talked about that he was rich, and it was hands-on. But the one word that I haven't mentioned yet, which is one of the first words that Matthew uses to describe Joseph of Arimathea, is that he was a disciple. He was a disciple of Jesus, and that's just the way it was. He was a follower, you know. Didn't matter how much money he had. Didn't matter how much respect he had. It didn't matter. Any of that stuff really all flowed from the first thing that Matthew says, is that Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, and all the other things that happen here follow that. He was a follower. He came to believe in Jesus. I don't know how. We don't have the story. But isn't it something? Somewhere along the line, Joseph came to Jesus, and he said, I believe in you. Somewhere along the line, Jesus must have looked at Joseph and said, Joseph, follow me. And Joseph said, I will. He doesn't say, well, I'll send someone else to follow you. I'm a rich guy. I got lots to do. I have businesses to run. No, he was a disciple. He was a follower of Jesus. And we see that here. We see isn't it amazing? The amazing devotion and the love. And that this, what Joseph does to Jesus' body is one of the tenderest, or the most tender, one of the best examples of worship, I think, that we have. They just worshipped. They just worshipped his Savior. He worshipped Jesus. For me, Joseph is he's an example. You know, we have all these examples of people who blew it. All through, especially around the cross, right? People who betrayed him, people who denied him, people who ran away. You know, everyone seems to blow it. But Joseph is an example of someone who seems like he's got it all together. he's an example of someone who just seems like he does it right. And really, you know, today, the message today is for those of us who appear like we've got it all together. The message I think that God wants to speak to us is, it's really meant for people who who stand tall and who do things right and who use their money properly and who are leaders maybe, or people who just think, we think we've got it all together. I'm doing it right. I've got lots of Bible knowledge. I've been a Christian for 30 or 40 or 50 years. If that's you, and that is me, this message is for you today. And it's a message for me. And it's a good thing. You know, a lot of times the messages, and you know this, sometimes the message is for the one who's addicted or the one who's fearful or the one who's depressed or, you know, the person out there who's running away from God. That's fine. Those are good things. We need to do that. But today, this Good Friday, the message is for those of us who got it together or who think we do. The ones who say, Jesus, I'm here. You don't need to reach out to me right now. I'm doing all right. Well, why don't you reach out to that drunk or to that girl who's still a prostitute on the street or that guy who's addicted? I'm okay. I'm doing fine, Jesus. I'm all right. You can come and get me later. You know, it's like the Titanic. You know, we're just drowning. We're doing our treading. I'm treading water. And oh, I know you want to save me, Jesus. I'm fine. I'm doing okay. You know, save Dave and then come back for me, you know. Or save Doug and then I'll be okay here. I'm okay. You're not okay. We're not okay. This message today is for those of us who are self-assured, who are prideful, even, and who think that we're doing all right. When the truth is, and hear me here, the truth is we need Jesus just as much as anyone else. We need Jesus just as much as anyone else. And that no matter how much money you have, no matter how many years of experience you have, no matter how solid you appear, no matter how much Bible knowledge you've got stored up here, you still really need Jesus. And Jesus died for you. He died for you. Not just that person out there that you think is just such a wandering soul. Not just that person who's rebelling. Jesus died for me. And Jesus died for you. And that is a profound message of God's grace and of His love. Amen? So the message today, this Good Friday, is for those of us who find ourselves sometimes aloof. You know, you notice that the disciples are standing at a distance. You know, there's other people surrounding the cross, but the followers, they're in different degrees. They're further and further away from the cross. They stand at a distance from the cross. And it's almost as if they're saying it's because, well, they're afraid, but that, you see, that pride and that self-sufficiency keeps us from that Jesus, keeps us from Him, keeps us from grabbing onto His feet, keeps us from drawing near to Him. The message today is for all of us who sometimes find ourselves thinking, I'm doing okay. I'm pretty strong. Here's the last word. Jesus died for you. And you need Him. You need Him to save you as much as anyone ever needed to be saved. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, for shaking us out of our complacency and out of our pride. And sometimes we don't recognize, Jesus, that we need you so much. We're not doing all right. We might give that impression, we might even convince ourselves of that, but apart from you and apart from leaning on you and clasping your feet in our hands, we're not doing all right. We are not doing all right without you, Jesus. Now thank you, God, for this word today. And let it be a challenge to those of us, Lord, who sometimes stand in the wings and we wait for you to deal with the other people because they need you more than we do. We think that they do, Lord. What a prideful, arrogant thing that is. And instead, I pray today, God, that each one of us, well, you'll find each of us coming to you, running to you, holding you, God, holding you, because we need you. There's no one else. Only you, Jesus, can save. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And so we come to the Lord's table. We come to remember and believe is what the word says. We remember what Jesus did, and we put our faith in that today. We put our faith in it. We tangibly eat the bread and we drink the cup of juice. We tangibly take it in, and we remember as we taste it that we're tasting and we're knowing and we're seeing that God is good. Do you believe that God's good? Yeah. He's such a good God. Today when you come, I'm going to ask you to come and take a piece of bread and take a little cup and then go back to your seat again. We're going to sing a few songs of worship, and we're going to spend a little time in quietness and in a little bit of darkness. Just remembering, just trying to find some peace and some quiet in this crazy world. Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. He was with his disciples and he broke the bread. And he said, this is a symbol. This is my body. It's broken for you. It was ravaged on the cross. It was driven through with nails. This is my body. They twisted a crown of thorns on my head. They whipped me. They mocked me. They insulted me. They did as much physical damage to me as they could. This is my body. It's broken for you. While we sing, anytime during the time we're singing, just come on up and grab a piece of bread and grab one of the little cups. And then come back to your seat and just sit and pray and worship. Thank you, God. Lead me to the ground.
Thank you. quiet.
You're so much quieter. Thank you, God. We just want to take a moment and just enjoy the quiet. Just tune our hearts to you right now. Simple question today. What does this mean? Someone have a simple answer? Love.
Life.
Yeah, I came to give you life. Not just ordinary life, I came to give you life abundantly.
Freedom.
Yeah, freedom. It is for freedom that we've been set free. And for salvation. Grace, the amazing grace of God that saved a wretch like me. Forgiveness. Yes, thank you, God. Hope and victory. Redemption. It's paid for. The transaction is complete today. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. This is his body. This is a symbol of what he endured and of how broken he was. Take and eat and remember. Taste and see that he was good. You are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, he is the living Son of God himself. And this cup is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus said. It's new. This is a new covenant. You need a new life? I came to give you a new life. This is about a new beginning. It's about washing away of all of your sins. This is about a personal relationship with Jesus. He didn't come just for the sin, big capital S of the world. He came for your sins too. Every sin, every part that you played in this. Take and drink. Remember and believe the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. We worship you, Jesus. And worship you, God. I'm going to ask you to, I think it's great if we could just stand and maybe we're in a circle. There's enough of us when we get in a circle and sing a song or two, and it'll be a blessing. You can just have some fellowship. Let's stand together and change my heart, oh God. Make it hurt to me. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the Father. I am the king.
I'm a part of. I am the place. Oh, me and maybe this is what I pray.
Just as we close here, Gertie, I wonder if you'd pray. Just pray a blessing and just pray a gratitude. Can you do that? Sunday's coming. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Remember that Jesus died for you.
Amen.
Change my heart, God. I'm a liar. I'm a liar.
I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm